Okay, is that working now? Is the sound coming out of both speakers? I guess it must be. I'm not really sure how this works. Hopefully it's not only in one. Hopefully it's not only in one channel. Something got messed up. Impermanence. So good evening, everyone. Welcome to our evening Dhamma session. The Buddha taught Vinja Charana Sampanno Soseto Devamanus Soseto Devamanusesu. That among the angels and the humans. Something wrong with my voice? How could that be? How does that happen? How does it happen that one's voice becomes high-pitched? Is there some this internet thing is just not what it's cut out to be. I think we'll go back to teaching in analog. Testing, testing. Maybe it was Second Life. Is it better now? May have been a problem with Second Life. All right, we start again. Apologies to our local meditators who are so patient. With all this unnecessary technology, we have a virtual deer park full of listeners. So the Buddha said, "Vijja charana sampanno soseto deva manusesu." That among all angels and humans, the highest. Most exalted is the one who is endowed with vijja and charana. Vijja meaning knowledge, and charana meaning conduct. Vijja, charana. These two go together. Vijja charana sampanno is a epithet of the Buddha. It's something that is understood to be one of the core virtues of the Buddha. That he indeed was endowed with both knowledge and practice, knowledge and conduct. Knowledge and conduct. It comes back to the core Buddhist concept or dogma or doctrine that it's wisdom that will set one free. It's wisdom that leads to purification. Wisdom is the most holy. The highest holiness is wisdom. The greatest goodness is wisdom. Viriyena dukkha majjeti panyaya parisujjati. It is through effort that one overcomes suffering. It is through wisdom that one is purified. And so again and again we have to impress upon followers of the Buddha's teaching that it's not about creating a specific state or becoming something. Buddhism is all about wisdom, knowledge, vidya. Vidya is an interesting word. Vidya comes from vid, the root. Vid is where the word vedana comes from, so it means to actually experience. There's a sense of it having to do with experiential knowledge. Because there's different kinds of wisdom, aren't there? One can know so much, and there are many people who call themselves Buddha who know so much. They have knowledge of all the Buddha's teaching. But they don't have jhana. A person might even have external behavior that's appropriate. They might keep the five precepts fastidiously, keeping to ethical precepts of body and speech. But charana isn't just that, is it? Charana is very much to do with our state of mind. It even has to do with our thoughts, jarana. All of this is informed by wisdom. It's not informed by knowledge, or it's not informed by the intentional control of the mind and control of the body and control of the speech, to repress and to prevent the arising of our innermost tendencies and desires. It's not about control. It's not about stopping the problems from arising. It's about understanding them. Understanding them to the point where they no longer have any hold over you. The source of suffering is not our experiences. Source of all of our suffering is certainly not external phenomena. It's not even our actions or our speech or our thoughts. It's our reactions to all these things. Our reactions based on what? Based on ignorance. Avijja paccaya sankhara. It's based on ignorance that we do good and evil. Not just evil, we do good as well. All based on ignorance. Why? Because we want some result. We want to be born in heaven, or we want to be rich, or we want to be this or that. We want this or we want that. And so the core in Buddhism is just wisdom. It's just gaining an understanding. But the hint here is with jhana. That the understanding that we try to gain has nothing to do with intellectual knowledge. It has to do with true and lasting change and the eradication of ignorance. Avijaya tveva ase saviraga nirodha. With the complete and utter fading away and cessation of ignorance, all suffering ceases. Eva metasa kevalasa dukkha kandasa nirodho hoti. This is the cessation of this entire mass of suffering. All through wisdom. It's quite unintuitive, I think. Intuitively, we want to control, we want to fix. We want a solution to our problems. But the solution to our problems is very quite much different. It's not about seeking a solution. The solution is simply to understand. To see them in a new way, to see them as they really are, because a problem can't exist. There's no such thing as a problem. They don't exist. There's no such thing in ultimate reality as a problem. Problems are conceptual. It has to do with our reactions, our judgments, our identification with what does exist, our clinging to that which exists. The Buddha said, the only thing you have to know, the only thing you really need to understand about Buddhism, even before you come to meditate, this means understand intellectually, I said, sabbe dhamma na langa binivesaya. No dhamma is worth clinging to. All dhammas are not worth clinging to. Nothing. And once you understand that, that's what you understand going in terms of this is what I'm getting myself involved in. This is what Buddhism is all about. So you understand it intellectually. It helps focus your mind and direct your mind and keep you on path. What am I doing here? Am I trying to control the mind? I was thinking this word meditation is a little bit deceptive because it's taken on so many improper connotations. Meditation is this thing you do with your eyes closed and your legs crossed. But that's not meditation. The practice of meditation is something that has to be the default filter with which we view experience, with which we encounter and interact with experience. Meditation. We have to meditate. We have to be meditative in our existence. And so this is where we get the idea of mindfulness, of sati. So that you apply mindfulness, you apply sati, and you start to see. So how do you come to know? How do you get rid of ignorance? Through knowledge. How do you cultivate knowledge? By seeing. How do you see? By looking. How do you look? Well, you focus. You straighten out your mind. You properly grasp the object as it is. Don't let it slip away. Don't have any sort of superficial awareness of experience. You actually have to impress upon your mind, this is this. Ditte dittamatang bhavisati. Seeing is just seeing. Seeing is seeing. Hearing is hearing. So wisdom isn't something esoteric or hard to understand. Wisdom is really just this. That's another thing, is wisdom becomes terribly misunderstood. And so you have people who study all of the Buddha's teachings and think that they're somehow wise. I used to give talks when I was in Thailand. I learned to give talks in Thai. I didn't really practice Thai. And when I learned to recite the Patimokkha, and Ajahn Tongi called me a parrot. He said, it's just like a parrot. Because I don't speak Thai and I'm not Thai and so on. So I was like, look at this, you can train a foreigner. I always thought, yeah. Someone can learn. You can learn so much. I mean, learning how to teach meditation, how to teach Buddhism, how to give a talk. It's just a skill. It's like being a parrot. So tonight I parroted back a whole bunch of the Buddha's teaching. You might think, wow, he's wise. Well, that's not wisdom. It's good memory. I've got a very good memory. for what it's worth, but it's not wisdom. None of this is really valuable. In an ultimate sense, not without wisdom. Without wisdom, intelligence can create much evil. So wisdom is something quite simple. It has all to do with jarana. And it's not jarana that other people see. This is the problem, is you look at someone and their behavior might be quite good. And they might seem, wow, that person is very calm and enlightened. They speak well, they act well. But it's possible to fake it. There are many unenlightened teachers who are very well versed in putting on a good show. But no, jarana is how your mind and your body line up. If you want to know, you can only really know for yourself, for the most part. If you want to know that you, whether you really have wisdom, you have to see how it plays out in your body and your speech and your thoughts. Wisdom is something that will change the way you think, the way you act, the way you speak. It will change your whole outlook on life. You will see the changes, less greed, less anger, less delusion, less inclined to do unwholesome things, more inclined to say or do the right thing, more ability and capability. It's such a power. Wisdom is this great power that changes our jarana, changes our behavior, changes our whole personality. Best be full of wisdom. Best be full of wisdom. These no lust can set on fire. Never a one with wisdom filled could be a slave unto desire. It's a Jataka verse. One of those well translated rhyming English couplets. So some food for thought tonight, a little bit of thought on wisdom. Get it clear in our minds that this is what we're aiming for. We're not trying to fix things or change things, not directly. The fix and the change, they come from understanding. Understanding changes us, changes who we are. So there you go, there's the Dhamma for tonight. Successful, even with technical difficulties. Thank you all for tuning in, and to my meditators for being patient. You didn't mention insights. How do they relate to wisdom? The insights are to some extent more about the change that comes. They are wisdom. They are the stages there, and it's an in-depth understanding of wisdom. But they have more to do with how you change. So they're a pattern of wisdom, a pattern of understanding, or a progress of what I was describing, this seeing that nothing was worth clinging to. Well, there are kind of stages to that. You know, it's not just immediately you get an epiphany, and nothing worth clinging to. That comes at the end. But leading up to that epiphany, there's quite a bit of prep work as you start to sort things out. And so there's a general pattern for how your thoughts change, the way you look at things change, based on starting to see things more clearly. The practice is quite simple. It's just looking and seeing. But the stages of insight are you know, they're much more useful for a teacher to judge and to assess where the meditator is. It's very dangerous for meditators to get caught up in them, because then they miss the point, and the point is just to see things clearly. I think it's masculine. It says, never a man with wisdom filled could be a slave unto desire. Unto desire. You can Google it, look it up. The Jatakas are all online. I recommend reading all 547 of them. But you can, I've got them, I got them searchable on my computer, so I just run a search if I need to find something. But there's a lot of rhymes like that. Best be full of wisdom, this no lust can set on fire. Ne'er a man with wisdom filled could be a slave unto desire. We have an online question. I tend to meditate right when I get up, but will meditate at different times before sleep. Is this okay? Again, meditation has to be ongoing, you know. It's very much a part of your life. So don't fret too much, you know. And it's, I like to remind people this is kind of like war. You're kind of like in a war zone. I think it's an important, you know, if you're here at a meditation center, it's not quite like that. It's much more direct. But out there, it's like you have to think like a guerrilla warrior. It's all about getting in the shots when you can, so be flexible. Yeah, for sure, at different times, that's fine. Don't be too concerned with a strict schedule. Yeah, if you can, it's great, but don't be upset when you can't. And be flexible. Be clever. So, and it's much more about you than it is about formal, like, I did this much meditation at this time and so on. Of course, sticking to a schedule is good if you can, because it gives you this routine, right? It's ritual. Ritual is useful to keep your attention. Can't help getting caught up with progress, though, so one should just note that, right? Yes, if you're worried or doubt, that's all a part of the practice. It's a part of the challenge. If you have worry or doubt, those are part of the problem. Or if you want to progress, you want this, want that. It's usually ego-based. Just note it. So these talks are also going to be on YouTube. Some of you are watching there, I'm sure. And we're also audio live. Now someone, one of our people here, sent me a message or email or something. I've got an exam tomorrow, so I've been a little bit preoccupied. She said she tried to download Second Life. She found it on the internet, but she got a problem and it just wouldn't load the Buddha Center. And she tried it both on her Android and on her iPad. Like, oh no. I think we're missing something here. So if you're trying to wonder how to get in Second Life, you really need a desktop computer or a strong laptop. It won't work on Android or iPad. It just doesn't, you know, there's no software. You need special software that you download for PC, Mac, Linux. I think Mac works, doesn't it? And yeah, it's a little bit involved. So hopefully we'll have, I was thinking of at least probably what I should have done before anyway, or I will soon in January when I come back, is set up the video camera and record actual, and so don't have to screencast, don't have to do this screen record. We'll record a video, a proper video, and then post that on YouTube. Problem is, I got this big mic in front of my face now. Such a nice microphone, but it doesn't work well for videos. Anyway, that's all for the questions, I guess. If so, then I wish you all a good night. Yeah, only 20 people. We can only have 20 people on here at once. But those seats, if you look over to my right, your left, there's a bunch of seats off on the gray part. That's actually in a different sim. So that's for overflow. People can go and sit there. and then they can listen in on the audio stream. We've done that before. But I don't think, if any of you ever come late and it's full, go sit over there and turn on the audio stream, or ask one of us where the audio stream is. I don't know if any of you have ever been caught out or if it's ever been really full. It just won't let you enter into the... once there's 20 people on the sim, you can't. Okay, I'm going to quit there. Thank you all. Have a good night.